You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Momency, alongside me as always these days, Coach Brendan Sir. Coach, how are you feeling after game two of the NBA Finals?
Normalcy has been restored. I think, you know, this is what everyone expected, you know, from game one. And they took their foot off the pedal in the fourth quarter the other day and didn't happen again tonight. I thought they were really focused. They were really active defensively, and boy, they were awfully good. They're tough at home. Boy, they're tough.
Absolutely. The started the same starting five as they did in game one. They didn't panic and overcorrect. Tonight, the rebounding battle that we talked about last time, the Thunder pulled out 50 boards, whereas the Pacers only 48. So they won the battle on the boards. The Thunder did a better job of moving the basketball. In particular, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 8 assists compared to his 3, but as a team, they had 25 assists on their 82 made baskets. Meanwhile, the Pacers, 27 assists on their 82 made baskets. But what was the differentiating factor in this one?
Well, you know, it's an interesting stat that came out when you have 3 days off in between or so. There's a Steve Kerr stat, I call it. And when Steve started coaching Golden State, it was the first time I'd ever seen this. How many passes a team makes for the entire game. And when you're over 300 and you have 30 assists as a team, Steve then felt that's when his team was moving the ball. The other day... 208 passes only for OKC. That was the lowest of any team in any game this year. How about that?
That's crazy.
That is amazing statistic. But I think
that's why they lost game one.
Yeah, and that's why they shot 40%. That's why I think Shai was going one-on-one. We thought he was very out of character, you and I, the first game. And I think today, I thought their defense helped create their offense. You know, and they were very aggressive, and I will talk about it, but I think the kid Wiggins came in and just was fabulous.
Absolutely. You know, off the bench tonight for the OKC Thunder, they had Alex Caruso giving them 20. Aaron Wiggins gave them 18 in just 20 minutes of action off the bench. When you get 38 points off two guys coming off your bench, you know, they always say your bench will win you one game in the NBA playoffs, and tonight might be it for OKC.
Yeah, and usually, as we say, at any time, it's usually at home. The bench plays well because they're more comfortable. The fans are cheering for them and stuff like that. And that's when benches usually play well. But, you know, I thought it was great. Great, great win for OKC to get them back, their confidence back and ready to go in there, I believe, Wednesday night.
Yeah, I think they were 17-2 off coming off a loss this season. The Indiana Pacers, they didn't shoot the ball as I say that, like they didn't shoot 35% from three, which is kind of good by most team standards, but they didn't shoot the ball quite as well as they did to close out game one or as they have throughout the season. I saw a stat, I don't know how true it is. The Pacers 0-4 on NBA playoff games on Sundays this postseason. So every game they've lost was on a Sunday. I don't know if that's true. But maybe they just don't like Sundays. And the bad news is they don't seem to like game threes either.
You know, but I predict they will not. Game three will not be their problem this year. I really believe that. We'll talk about that later because they've lost three of them in a row now, game threes. So I think that'll be an alert for them.
Do you think that Tyrese Haliburton needs to be a little bit more aggressive scoring the basketball? He scored 17 points, just 13 shots, though. Would you like to see him kind of force the issue more when his teammates aren't hitting those shots?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, one thing, you know, they have really great defensive players. And so, you know, I think you can really look bad if you start forcing it, and it could. I think, you know, you have to take what gives you, and as long as he keeps moving the ball, this is a terrific defensive team. They're not going to let him get off. They have swarming team defense, and if he does, Then I think you're going to see a lot of help and stuff. But I think, he came off those picks. He threw the ball ahead to the open man, and different guys took turns making shots. So I think he's got to continue to play what we call the right way, I think, Mo.
Yeah, it's interesting because you've got looking at the Pacers, you've got seven guys who scored double figures. You don't tend to lose games when you've got seven guys that give you double figures. But the OKC Thunder, led by Shai's 34 points, he put on a masterclass in scoring this evening.
Yeah, this is 34 that you want him to see him getting, because I think, the big thing you saw with him, was 11 for 21 instead of 30 shots, and then 11 for 12 from the line. That's the way that's his kind of game. So I thought that was great. He did that all in 36 minutes, which is amazing, I think.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me tonight was Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren, the second and third options of this OKC team. They stepped up. The first game was absolutely horrendous for Chet in particular, in my opinion. I think he had 6 points and six rebounds tonight. He had 15, only six boards again, but did what he needed to do. And then Jalen Williams gave them 19 as well in this.
Yeah, I mean, when I haven't looked at what was the assist, Mo, for the team?
For the team, it was 25 assists as a team.
Yeah, see, I think they had 13 in the first game, right? Something like ridiculously low. Yeah, so when they're doing it, and they still could have even converted more. They messed up a couple of fast break opportunities, but and also they made the right pass and missed several wide open threes, especially in the third quarter, where it could have even been like 30 assists. So I was really pleased at the way they came back, and that was the kind of team game that Dagnall wants his guys to have.
It's interesting because there was a stretch, I think to start the second quarter, Haliburton checks out the game when it's 27 points to 20. By the time he checked back in 6 minutes later, it was 40 to 27.
Yeah,
That run there
I was
shifted the
surprised he
game.
was out that long. Yeah, I think, and again, I'm not criticizing Rick, but he's a guy that, even if you played him at small forward, but the one thing is, he doesn't defend that well, and I think they when they sub, they go to their bench. They got guys that come in are really good defenders. I don't think I might be wrong, but I don't think Mathurin, he had 14 points. He played hard. I really don't have a problem with really many of the guys that they were playing, and they really made some shots. So, I just think the other guys were better,
But as a coach, from your coaching perspective, when you sit your star player, the other team's going on a run. How long do you sit him? Do you stick to your predetermined rotations? How long can you sit him? And when do you make that decision to put him back in the game? Surely it's at a point before it's, a 20-point lead.
Well, I think what you're doing is you're looking and seeing why are they scoring, and I think in that point, it's not his position that's giving up the points, it's other people. So I don't, I think Rick has to guide that. But I think one thing, so much of it is instinct, so much is feel, and I think that's what you have to go with. But you have to be flexible, but I don't think that was the problem. But I was surprised at it also when I saw that he was still on the bench. But I'm not going to blame Rick.
Yeah, because
I'm
that's
going to give
when
him a
Chet really
pass.
got going. I think that little stretch there, Chet had a couple of threes, and then he had one way is a pump fake drive to the hoop.
Yeah,
And yeah, it's.
that's not a Halliburton's problem, right? You
Yeah.
know what I mean? That's other guys.
The problem I have for Haliburton is he is kind of the weak link in this defense, though. Okay, so you do make a point of targeting him. Do
Yeah.
you anticipate the Pacers kind of switching up anything defensively to kind of maybe
No.
pre-switch like other teams do? Because the OKC do a lot of pre-switching. The Knicks did a lot of pre-switching to avoid Brunson being put in actions. Do you see the Pacers going to some stuff like that?
Now, I think OKC plays faster than everyone, so I don't think that you can do, and a good thing about OKC is really smart in that they don't care whoever he goes to, if they want to, they'll target. But I think, whoever switches on to Shai, it doesn't matter. They're dead anyway, in my opinion, the way he has it going, whether it's Miles Turner or whoever. So I think that's what they're doing. I think I didn't look at I didn't go through the stat sheet well enough, but I think did Toppin do much today? Obi Toppin.
Obi Toppin, he came with just one made basket, one of eight from the field. You know, he
Yeah. See,
hit one to get going, and you thought, oh no, it's going to happen again. But then he just didn't hit the rest of his shots.
and I think he had five threes the last game, so I think that was,
Yeah, he was one of five tonight, one of eight
you
from the
know,
field.
and against the Knicks in the closeout game, the guy made all kinds of
Oh,
plays and
that was
stuff.
personal, though. That was personal for the Knicks.
He's got to play well. And again, at home, these guys ramp it up big time.
Absolutely. So let's look ahead to game three, going back to Indy now. The Pacers have not won a game three yet in this playoff run, but you think they're going to bounce back?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, this is a really important thing for you. So I think they're going to come out mentally knowing that they've had those games. And we know that this is when, frankly, OKC is a little vulnerable because, you know, they went to Minnesota and got blown out in game three. So I think this is, I don't think, I know their record is good playoff wise. I think they are a little vulnerable as a road team, OKC. So I think this is when, you know, you go in there, and I think this is when you have to establish that you're going to win your home games. And right now, it's 1-1, but Pacers have home court advantage.
I don't know. I picked the OKC Thunder in five to kind of start this series before it began.
Yeah, and I had it in seven. I
Yep,
had
yep.
OKC in seven just because I want to keep seeing games.
I'm hoping you're right. I'm hoping you're right.
Right.
But, you know, there was like, remember the 2001 finals where Philly went and stole game one in LA, right? Allen Iverson had that crazy game. But then the LA Lakers just stepped up their game and closed out in five games. Do you see
Yeah.
that happening with just how great OKC are defensively? Can you see that happening?
I mean, anything can happen. Anything can happen. You know, OKC's good enough to go and win two games on the road, sure. And it could happen. It could be a five game set. Do I expect it to happen? No. Frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if we had a split here. I will be shocked if if Indiana wins two home games. But I will
You'd
be
be shocked if
shocked.
Indiana wins both home games.
Yeah, because then it'd be up 3-1. I'd be shocked. Yeah. But it's, you know, but they're a good home team, great home court advantage. I think you'll see the Pacers fans will be absolutely insane. I think it's going to be a great environment. And that's what you want. That's what you want for the finals. You want a great environment.
Yeah, it has been rocking in OKC, and you know the fans in Indiana are super, super passionate about basketball. Usually it's college basketball, but now the Pacers are good again, so they've got something.
Well, the high school basketball is even more passionate in
Oh, for
Indiana.
real.
Oh, the best in the country. Not the best players, but they have high school gyms that are 7,000, 8,000 seating. It's phenomenal. Just on the high school campus. Yeah, it's like Texas football, our
And
version of football.
thanks to Caitlin Clark, the WNBA sold out in Indiana everywhere you go, even when they're on the
Everywhere.
road.
Everywhere.
So maybe we'll be seeing Caitlin Clark at the game on
Oh,
when's the
shoot.
next game then? Wednesday.
Wednesday. If she's not playing, they will be there.
Well, she's out with an injury, so.
No, she has to go with her team though.
Oh
If their team's on the road, I mean, yeah.
So now, from a Pacers perspective, heading back home, obviously you're going to have the home crowd behind you, but do you see anything tactically adjustment-wise that they can make ahead of the next game?
Yeah, I think they'll look at the game, and I think, you know, Rick will come up with some things, and he'll see where they've had some opportunities that they didn't take advantage of. I think if I'm them, I'm going to really try to go inside. I'm going to try to post up. I'm going to make Chet Holmgren. I'm going to make Hartenstein. I'm going to make them, and anyone that switches, I'm going to make them play defense inside because I think that's when they're vulnerable. And so that I'm going to really try to establish some kind of inside game.
Yeah, I mean, Miles Turner, he's known for his 3-point shooting abilities as a stretch five, but is it him that you want to see? Because I saw early in the game, you know, Pascal Siakam was making a points post up against Cason Wallace like he did in game one, but Cason Wallace did a much better job defending him this time around, and the help defenders were doing a
Yeah,
better job.
both of those bigs, I want them inside. You know, especially off of pick and roll action or what we call rim running on the break, you know, where they just, you know, someone matches up, and a lot of times a guy like Shea will end up on a post guy. Just go in there and post. They had so many steals with balls going into the post tonight on entry passes. It was really unusual. The referees were very lenient on allowing them to be aggressive and come over the top and steal balls. Again, those can easily become fouls at home. So I expect them. That's where you got to establish a game. If I can get either one of the OKC bigs out of the game, it's a huge advantage for me. Huge.
Absolutely. From an OKC perspective now, you've lost your home court advantage. What is Mark Dagnall saying in that locker room to his team as they prepare to fly over to Indiana?
Well, I think what he's first of all saying is, they were, as we talked about, they're very mature. They watched the film, they focused, and they got back to playing their way. And now he's going there and saying, let's go and get game three so that we can regain home court. And I think that's where you're going to see them. So they have to win a road game to get home court back. So I think that's their mentality to go there and win game three. Because if they do, then it takes the pressure off trying to win game four. So I think that's the mindset. When you get to this point, Mo, in a 7-game series, all you think about, frankly, you and I are talking about games three, four, five, six, and seven. They're focused, both teams, on just the next game. You have to have an amazing singular focus of being in the present and just worried about what's next. And that is so hard to do. Not for the players, but for everyone else. But that's where those players are at, and coaches are just worried about the next game. Each game, as we've talked about through the playoffs, is a series within itself. You don't worry about anything beyond that next game.
Absolutely. But in the last game, I complained about the NBA logo not being on the court. Tonight, the NBA tried to electronically put a couple of logos on the court at the start of the game.
No, they can't put them on the court because they've had serious injuries when they put decals down on the floor. And so like the NBA has really done amazing things. Europe has been way ahead on football pitches as far as your scoreboard or advertising boards around the field. And a lot of times in some events we try to do. But what they can do is they can do some things electronically and digitally, and that's what they were trying to do because it's
However,
safer.
when it's the
It's
in-season tournament, they have a whole colorful floor
well,
and all
no,
of this.
but and that's a special thing where the actual courts are made. But you don't want to do that in the finals. You don't want to change and go to different courts. No,
I mean
you.
the NBA finals existed for like 65 years with the logos on it, and I didn't see anyone get injured at center court like that.
No,
So
they haven't done it in the last several years. They
I think it
haven't.
was up until like the early
No,
2010s.
yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's 15 years ago. So you don't want to do that. It's not important. Everyone knows what the hell we're playing for. It's the damn finals. You don't need a freaking court to remind you what the hell we're
I mean,
doing.
they got enough adverts on the court. But anyway, in the last episode, I also said that the game was so good, we didn't get a chance to talk about the Knicks firing Tom Thibodeau. Tonight's game, it was still a fun game to watch, but it was a little bit of a blowout. The game, you kind of knew that OKC had it by halftime. So let's talk about the New York Knicks, a team that you, Coach Sir, used to run. Many of our younger fans might not know this, but it was you.
Isaiah Thomas.
You were assistant coach and also assistant GM at the same time. Is that right?
Yeah, and actually, when Isaiah was president of the team, and basically I was running day-to-day operations for him, and basically heading up our basketball day-to-day moves. Isaiah was president, general manager, and then at one time, Isaiah became president, general manager, and head coach. And so, at one point I was running day-to-day operations and associate head coach of the Knicks. So it was kind of wild. But it's really, I have, let's forget, a team. I always say, my belief is that you serve at the pleasure of, and we see this in European football, they change coaches like you change underwear.
No, I'm a
I mean,
Chelsea
it's
fan. You ain't got to tell me about changing
no, it's
coaches.
an absolute joke. Yeah, I mean, that's if you lose, have bad year,
Well, Tottenham even
and we
fired their coach. He's just won them the Europa League.
and we do that in NHL hockey also.
Yep.
You know, so, but I always believe that you serve at the pleasure of your owner. Yeah. And so I have no problem with that. It's his thing. So apparently,
The owner,
he
James
just,
Dolan.
James Dolan, I'm sorry, he's been the owner of him and his family for
Yeah,
years.
just for your younger fans.
And so he owns a lot of things. He owns the NHL team, the Rangers. He owns Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. He owns in Las Vegas, he owns the Sphere, which is the number
Wow.
one concert venue in the world. You know, they have people that play there in residencies, like U2 opened it up for 3 or 4 months in a row. Every performance was U2. And so I think we're going to see. He didn't like Thibodeau, apparently, it looks like, even when he was winning. And so he just wanted to make a change. That's his prerogative. Whether you agree with it or not, doesn't matter what I think. But my caution always is, and he made several changes when I was there too. You know, he fired one of the winningest coaches in the history of the game, Lenny Wilkins, after he lost a game one night. He fired a lot of people. You know, that's he has a habit of doing that. So, but my thing was, if you do fire someone that is successful, you better know who you're hiring next. And that's my only thing. You better know who you're hiring, because otherwise are you gonna have someone as good? That's what we're gonna find out. I think it's gonna be really hard for them. I really do, because the people that see it's we have very strict contracts in the NBA. You can't leave one team and go to the next, because when you're under contract, you can't even talk to another team. So all the good coaches in the NBA are under long-term contracts. You know, you see Jason Kidd and people like that. Jason Kidd's got 2 more years, and they're probably going to extend him in 2, 3, or 4 more years. You know, yeah. So I mean, you better know who you're hiring.
I think from a basketball perspective, there isn't a coach on this earth that's going to be able to, in the NBA playoffs, cover up for two bad defenders in your best five-man unit out there, especially when your best player is your worst defender. That's a really hard thing to overcome. And I don't know if there is a coach that exists out there who's going to be able to fix that problem for them. I think it's a roster construction issue in, okay, you can live with having one weak defender, maybe, but now you've got two in Brunson and Cat. How are you going to hide both of them in a playoff run?
Yeah, well, that is what you say. I have to be very careful about what I say. But I think that's a good analysis on your part. The biggest thing is apparently one of the things we do here, mainly in the pros, is we do a wonderful thing called exit interviews, they're called. And at the end of the season, the front office sits down and talks to the players. And they ask them questions. Okay, I think that's fine. As a head coach or as a coaching staff, we also had exit interviews with our players for different reasons. But apparently, the Knicks had exit interviews like within a day of losing, which is a really bad idea because there's emotions involved. And for the first time I've ever heard, an owner participated in the exit interviews.
Yeah.
Mr.
I've never
Dolan.
heard that.
No. And apparently, the exit interviews were only with selected few players, not the entire team.
Interesting.
Yes. And so, if certain players responded to questions negatively, you know, you're a premier interviewer, so you can word a question so that you can get a certain answer. And so, do you feel that we would do better if we had a different coach, if we played more players, if we did this? Well, very few young people are going to say, well, you know, the reason we lost is because of me or because of, you know, but what you should do as a player, if you believe this, is don't throw your head coach under the bus unless you don't believe in him. If you don't believe in him, you know, that's your prerogative. You know, we'll see who they hire. That's all I'm saying. But the pressure on that new coach, Because if he doesn't go to the finals, we probably should let him go.
Absolutely. And you know who else loves hiring and firing coaches? The Phoenix Suns, who also hired a new head coach, Jordan Ott. He was an assistant with the Cavaliers. Before that, he was with the Lakers as an assistant and the Nets as an assistant and the Hawks as a video coordinator. Do you know much about Jordan Ott and what
Not
he's
the
going to bring?
least bit.
Well, I know two things about him. Number one, he went to Michigan State Uni, same as their owner, Matt Ishbia. And number two, he used to work for the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are owned by Dan Gilbert, Matt Ishbia's biggest rival in the world. So I don't know much about Jordan Ott and what he's going to bring. He might be fantastic, but I think someone coming from your college with you, and then poaching him from the person you hate most in this world is an interesting way of deciding a coaching process.
Yeah, the person who's their new general manager was Tom Izzo's assistant at Michigan State when Jordan Ott was there also. So he's the one that, so it's unusual. It's a very unusual thing. But as I like to say, I'll be watching.
We will
I'll be
indeed be
watching.
watching what happens with the Phoenix Suns. I heard they're trying to offload Bradley Beal for a second round pick. I don't know which team's going to go for that.
Well, the problem is he has a no trade contract, so
Yep.
you can't trade
Yep.
him.
Yep.
And he did not lend his it didn't lend it this year, so I don't know
At a
why
trade
he would
deadline, he
do
said he's staying in Phoenix. Phoenix is a pretty nice place to live. Arizona's
Yeah,
not bad.
I think that he will try to get bought out. No one's going to take him at $50+ million. There's no room on teams'
No one's
payrolls for
got
that
that money,
guy.
but there are going to be a lot of trades this coming
But
off
not
season,
for guys that make
but
that
not for
much
Bradley
money.
Beal.
No, Kevin Durant will be, that's a guy, it could be Karl Anthony Towns, it could be Giannis. Those guys that are 50 million, those guys are good enough to people would want to acquire them, but
It's tough now with
not
the.
Bradley. Yeah, the second apron.
Yep, it
Yeah.
makes it tough because also Philly got to find a way to dump Paul George, but I don't think they can do that either.
No, impossible.
So they're gonna be
Impossible.
stuck for a while. It's
3 years more.
good luck
Three more
Philly. Well,
years.
they got the number three pick in the draft. They got McCain. They got Maxey. They got some young talent to be excited about.
Not, McCain's not enough to get excited about.
I mean, the games will be fun to watch. Not so much that they're gonna compete,
Why
but
would
as
they be
in.
fun? Why would they be fun to watch if Joel Embiid doesn't play? He's got to play.
Well,
I mean, the
I
guy's.
was for tonight's game, I actually did a stream with some of my friends. One of my friends has a channel. We were doing a stream, and I said to the stream, Joel Embiid is 31 years old, and everyone was like shocked because in their heads, Joel Embiid is a young player in the NBA, and I'm
Yeah.
like, no, he's 31, never been to a conference finals. This is just the reality that we're living in now.
How about that?
So, it is what it is,
And is injured,
all the time,
Yeah,
all the
that's the
time.
biggest thing.
But at least he got his gold medal with Team USA. How about that? But that's another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast. Nice quick one for you guys today. There will be a lot more to talk about after game three. OKC did their job tonight. I think everyone expected them to bounce back and win. You called me earlier today and said they're 10.5 point favorites, which is like unheard of in an NBA finals game. They did what they needed to do. They did what they were expected to do. And now we got to see if they can go and do it on the road because Indiana is going to be loud. The pace is going to be fired up to bounce back. And as you said, they've lost so many game threes. Now it's going to be in the head that they have to win.
Yeah, they'll have a great, they will be what I call laser focus for game three. Also, there's tremendous pressure on you now at home, and you have to win. And the fans are like, they were excited during the Knicks series. Wait till they see the excitement in the finals. It'll really be special. But you know what? It's great for NBA basketball. It's great for these two franchises, and I can't wait for Wednesday night.
Neither can I. Neither can I, coach. We're going to be locked in. We're going to be back here breaking it down afterwards. I'm actually really enjoying these NBA finals. Even though tonight was a bit of a blur, it's still interesting to see the chess match and what moves they make ahead of the next game as well. We're going to bring you all the details and everything that you guys need to know. If you want to fill the basketball void in your life before then, check out the Coaching You podcast and the Coaching You app. You just search Coaching You, the letter U, and you'll find it all there. And we've got about 700 or so episodes on our channel as well to keep you guys entertained.
Bad.
So bad. Yes, we'll be back. Coach, any exciting plans between now and Wednesday?
Yeah, a lot of exciting plans. I'm going to get some sleep right now like you are. And, you know, but no, my normal work days and stuff like that. I'm going to be in town for the next 3 days, and then I have to go on the road for about 3 days to do some speaking and stuff like that. So this is the summertime is my hectic time.
Booked and busy. Things we love to see. We love to see. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe. YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. We'll be back after game 3. And until next time, get buckets.